Amen. Good singing this morning. And I'm going to talk a little more about that song here in a little bit as it does go along with a certain portion of the message that we'll be looking at. But Jesus has accomplished it all for us. We have no part in it. There's nothing that we can do. We are complete in Him. So even at the very beginning this morning, as we get ready to hear from God's Word, let me make a call for anybody that's still is struggling over their relationship with God. Put your faith and trust in Jesus and experience the completeness of His salvation, forgiveness, and all of this. That's why we're here. That's the number one reason, is to proclaim Jesus Christ. And we hope that you understand that more as we continue on this morning, our love for Jesus. Well, we have been discussing a number of things, and this is the third Sunday that we have been here. The first Sunday we talked about, looked in Ephesians, about Jesus Christ as the head of the church. It's Jesus who's in control, and that's a relief to all of us in leadership, and should be a relief to you. And we are submitted before Jesus Christ and His leadership in Village Chapel Baptist Church, and He will guide us. We know that. Last week we looked at some responsibilities that the church has as a whole in walking in the Spirit. Every step that we take, making sure that we are submitted to the Spirit's guidance in our decisions that we make, that we're walking wisely. And we can do that when we're submitted to the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we go our own way without doing that, and that's when we get into trouble. We can walk wisely on a daily basis throughout our week, not just on Sundays when we're here for an hour or so together, but throughout our lives we can do that. The theme we're going to continue on today is that theme, walking in the Spirit and have a focus. But we're going to look at something a little different this morning. And it's another burden that's on my heart as we begin our ministry here at Village Chapel. And hopefully that will be understandable as we go forward. We're going to be looking in Galatians today, though. Galatians, and our background verses will be in chapter 5. And even though I'm going to start the message in verse 24, I'm going to read from 22. All the way to chapter 6, verse 5. Then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll look into God's Word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we have, this brief time to look into your word. May we be free from distractions and those things that would cause us to think about other things besides your word this morning. I know there's a lot going on in the lives of each person here, a lot of things that they're dealing with. But give us full attention and give us understanding through the Holy Spirit as we look into your word to see the need of discipling each other and bearing each other's burdens. Father, part of the unity of Village Chapel is willingness to help each other bear up under the midst of difficult things, and to also be responsible in carrying the burdens that you have given us as well, and not deflecting those. Help us to have understanding in all of these things, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, we just finished looking and reading from Galatians chapter 5, and 22 and 23 described the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm giving a little background here before we go further into the message. Because at the end of this passage, Paul gives, in fact, throughout the last part of this chapter, Paul is calling on people to walk according to the Spirit. We began talking about this last week, and that walking in the Spirit, again, as I mentioned this morning, is being submitted in every step that we take in our lives. And he says, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. As believers, we don't have to follow after the sinful desires of the flesh, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. That's the one option. You can follow after the desires of the flesh, or you can submit yourself to the Spirit, and then he gives the fruit of the Spirit there, as we listed just and read just a few minutes ago. And you can allow the Holy Spirit to work these things in your life. Two options. Follow your sinful temptations and desires, or follow after the Spirit and be controlled in the Spirit and be experience the fruitful walk of a mature believer. Now, you might say at the very beginning here, how is that possible? Pastor Brock, you just read through those lists of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, some of these I'm able to do. Some of these I'm okay in. But you know what, Pastor Brock? It's a struggle out there. It's hard to do these things and put these things into place. And there's all kinds of things pulling at me from all directions and wanting me to go after my sinful desires that I still struggle with. And sometimes I just get overwhelmed. And maybe there's some of you here today that say, and if I was being candid, I'll admit I'm not experiencing a lot of victory in my walk as a believer. Well, what can we do about that? Verse 24 in chapter 5 gives us the key here that we need to remember. That is, we must rely on the Spirit for power and guidance. We're talking this morning about the burden-bearing power of the Spirit. How can we can accomplish the things God's called us to accomplish through submission to the power of the Holy Spirit? And number one, we must rely on the Spirit for power and guidance. Well, how do I do that? Well, remember, first of all, that we don't have to give in to the flesh. You may have some strong temptation. Well, we all experience temptations, right? It's not wrong, by the way, to be tempted. Don't misunderstand me. We're going to experience temptations in this life. But how are you going to react to those things? There's some temptations that some of us are tempted by, that Satan uses, that are very powerful. But to other people in this room, you would see us being tempted by those things and say, I don't experience that. I wonder what's such a big deal. Why is that such a temptation for them? But you have some things in your life that tempt you that some of the rest of us may not understand. We all have our own mix of weaknesses and things that we're tempted by. But even the ones that are grave, strong temptations for us, we don't have to give in to. And it's all wrapped up in that verse, verse 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Please understand what Paul is saying here. He is, in one verse, encapsulating everything that we just sang about in that song, Complete in Thee, because Jesus has done it all. And in his crucifixion, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and here we go, we get to talk about the gospel again, by the way. And I hope that you enjoy hearing about the gospel. Anytime we get an opportunity to talk about the gospel and what Jesus has done, that should be a joy to our hearts. And he's done so much. But because of his death and sacrifice and his resurrection, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we also, in a way that's almost hard to understand, we are crucified as well. The sin nature within us is dead. We don't have to follow after our sin nature any longer. And we shouldn't. It's not natural for a believer to follow after, to be enslaved by their sin nature, because they're free. And we need to live like that. Can I just read you a couple of those verses that we just sang? I'm sure that most of you, while we're singing, pay very close attention to the words that we're singing. But, you know, sometimes we get distracted. And let me encourage you, as we're singing, to really focus on these words that we're singing. If we're going to sing them, we ought to sing them sincerely, knowing what we're singing about. the first verse, completed thee, no work of mine, nothing that I've done, Lord, may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Jesus shed his blood and bought our pardon, and we are forgiven of all of our sins, all of them. He did that. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered. Reign within. And that goes to what we just described here. Jesus, victory over sin and death has conquered sin for us, and it doesn't reign within us anymore. Sin is not king in the heart of the believer. Jesus is. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Are you struggling with temptation this morning? Talk to Jesus about it. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. And remember God's word. And remember that God is stronger than the tempter, and he will help you flee. He will provide a way of escape from those temptations and those sins. Verse 3, complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in thee. We are complete and given everything we need to live the Christian life. And so there's no excuses for the believer. We need to submit to the power of the Spirit and understand that we can serve Jesus effectively because of his sacrifice. So does everybody understand when Paul says, verse 24 there, they are Christ, have crucified the flesh. None of us in here that have a true relationship with Jesus through faith in him are enslaved to the flesh. We can serve Jesus. I hope we have that understanding. That's crucial for what we talk about next. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We must rely on the Spirit for power and guidance. And we just showed that we are no longer guided by the flesh, but we must be guided by the Spirit. That phrase, we live in the Spirit, is talking about the moment where we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we are made alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are made new creatures. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Understand, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are not what we were before. We are alive again. We were dead in our sins. We had no ability to please God. We had no ability to do right. Even the right that we did as unbelievers, having rejected God, even the right that we did, the Bible says, is still sin, filthy rags, because it's not done for Jesus, it's done for ourselves. We're dead. We're not able to serve God. But when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. He makes us new. We're new creatures. We're alive in Jesus Christ. And if we're new creatures, doesn't it make sense then that we should live a little bit differently than we did before? If we live in the Spirit, if we've been renewed, let us also walk in the Spirit. But Pastor Brock, it's just so hard. It is hard sometimes. But you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to that has revived you, and you're new, and we shouldn't be acting. It's strange, it's bizarre to continue to act like that we're dead in our sins, as the old man. It's not natural. Paul says here, we must be guided by the Spirit and his power. So are we willing then to follow the direction of the Spirit? Are we willing to, on a daily basis, as we get up in the morning, say, Jesus, my life is yours. Holy Spirit, guide me. And we probably should do that more than once a day, right? Sometimes we need to do it hourly. As we're in traffic and that person cuts us off, that obviously you can't figure out how in the world they ever got their driver's license. And you're angry and you didn't have time to stop at Dunkin' Donuts and get an extra cup of coffee and everything's just not working out and you're irritable. And at that point you need to say, Lord, help me. I'm about to embark upon the task that you've called for me to be in, the responsibilities that you've called for me to do, and I need your help to do them right and to be an example of Jesus Christ. Because honestly, Lord, I don't feel like that right now. I'm irritated. I'm angry. And the Holy Spirit will help us through that. He'll call to mind Scripture. He'll help us remember that we're new people. We don't want to act like the old man anymore. People need to see the love of Jesus Christ in us. So then what Paul does here is he gives us a series of tests to see, to kind of gauge ourselves. How am I doing as far as walking in the Spirit? Am I walking according to the flesh, which is bizarre and unnatural? Or am I walking in the Spirit? Here's a test, and that's verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Now, those are some big words there. Let me just kind of reduce that down. That means stop being arrogant. Stop being prideful. Are you doing well walking in the Spirit? How's your pride doing? Do you still find yourself arrogant at times? Do you still find yourself when confronted with different situations that, let's just say, may be a rebellion against your authority at a particular job, or you're being kept from something that you feel you need to do, or there are some people that you just think, you know, I'm so glad I'm not like them, and you struggle with this pride and with this arrogance. And if we allow that to continue in our lives, then we're walking after the flesh. It's unnatural. We're not walking with the Spirit. If we are struggling with arrogance and pride, if we're asked to do something here at church and something comes up that we don't like and we say, well, I shouldn't have to do that, might be some pride and arrogance involved. Examine our hearts. Here's the first test. Walking in the Spirit, how are you doing with your pride and your arrogance? Here's another one, provoking one another. This has the idea of loudly and boldly stirring up matters with others. And some of us maybe are more gifted in being bold and being loud. I tend to have a loud voice that I'm always having to be careful to put a filter on. Because to me it doesn't sound loud sometimes, but hopefully it's not too loud to you this morning. But I just naturally have a loud voice. And that's not, Paul's not saying just be quiet all the time. But what he's saying is, if you're the type of person that is always stirring things up and always has to have the last word and is boldly just jumping into matters that you don't even understand, but this is the type of person that just jumps in and the type of individual that is constantly stirring things up and bold and arrogant and brash with their statements, regardless of what happens and how people are hurt. They don't have any concern for that. Paul says that's not the sign of someone who's walking in the Spirit. We need to be self-controlled. Before we answer a situation or we jump into an argument or whatever, we need to have the facts. We need to understand what we're getting into. We don't just boldly push past people and give our own opinions and stir things up. Paul says walk wisely. Don't act that way. And then envying one another is this last one. This might have more of the idea of the quiet person who just quietly looks around them and sees things that people have or positions that people have been given or whatever. That list could be a long one. And starts to quietly envy and get jealous and starts becoming bitter and seething underneath. You might not even know that they were struggling, but they are. And they're jealous. And envy actually goes beyond jealousy. It's not just being jealous of something. It's I'm jealous of that person for what they have, whether it's something, a material good or position or whatever. And I don't want them to have it. I want to take it away from them. That's evil. A person walking in the Spirit should be getting victory over things like that. So how you doing so far on the list? 3 for 3? Let's go on here, and this is really where I want to focus on our last little bit of time here. And that is that Paul shows us that if we're walking in the Spirit, then something should be very natural for us as believers in a church, and that is helping each other, carry each other's burdens. Discipleship should be going on amongst people in our church. all of us should have a part in this. And we're going to see here, we rely on the Spirit for power and guidance. I hope you saw that. That was clear. But number two, we must rely on the Spirit to help carry life's burdens. Life's burdens are hard. They're difficult. Some are more difficult than others. There are people in this room that are going through and carrying great burdens that you can't even tell many of us about because they're secret. There are some that we know about and we realize, wow, that person is going through some very difficult things, maybe the death of a loved one, maybe the loss of a job, maybe family difficulties. All of us have the regular burdens of life, yes, but also great difficulties that pop up that we need help with as well. And believers shouldn't have to carry those things alone. And those that are walking in the Spirit will be sensitive to those around them. They won't be walking around just constantly thinking about themselves and being self-focused. But they'll be looking around at their church body and noticing when people are hurting and ready to help as God gives them ability to do that. Let's look at verse 1 again, chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here we have the picture of a person who has stumbled into a fault. And it is not, Paul is not here describing a lifelong sin pattern or a regular sin pattern, but it seems what he's describing here is somebody that was maybe not fully submitted to the Spirit and stumbled into something and committed a sin that they were almost surprised by. One of those things that we all understand that sooner or later we sin and we look back and say, wow, I didn't even see that coming. And that's why we have to be vigilant, by the way, and submitted to the Spirit. So when those temptations come, we're ready for them. But we all know as imperfect human beings, until Jesus Christ comes and we're perfected, that we're going to struggle with things. And sooner or later, we're all going to mess up and we're going to fall. Well, what does the church do about that? Does the church look from afar and say, I knew it. I knew that person was going to fall. It was just a matter of time. I've just been waiting for that. And now we'll just have to deal with the consequences. Or do church members realize what's happened and go alongside and try to help that person get out of the ditch, get back on the right road, walking with the Spirit again? What's our reaction to these things? Someone who is walking with the Spirit is sensitive to those who have fallen off track and is ready to help them. It says, ye which are spiritual. Let me just make this clear too, by the way. This is not a category of super Christian. That when you get to a certain level, after you've read your Bible for a certain number of years and you've served faithfully in the church, then you get upped and you get your little cape and you become super Christian and you're on another level and from the rest of us, and you're now the spiritual side of things, and you can handle and help us in a way that you couldn't before. I'm being a little sarcastic, as you can tell. But I used to think of Christianity that way. When I was a young person, I would look at other people that were serving God faithfully and think, they're just on another level I'll never reach. And so God will use me somehow or another in whatever way He can with all my faults and failures. But I'll never be on the super Christian level. Well, eventually, it took a while, but God showed me there is no super Christian level. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. And what Paul is saying here, that when someone falls into sin, those of you who have learned to have victory over that sin in your lives, who are spiritual in that particular area, please come alongside that person and share with them how God gave you victory. Is that hard? Can we give testimonies to others and say we'll pray for them and let them know that they don't have to feel forever guilty by their sin, that God can still use them? I've had victory in my life. You can too. Because sooner or later, we're all going to stumble because we all have weaknesses in different areas. And when we stumble, We want somebody who has learned victory in that area to come alongside to us as the spiritual person and remind us about how we can have victory over that sin. Does that make sense? Ye which are spiritual then really could include most of us, if not all of us in this room, as we share how God has given victory to us through God's strength, through the power of Jesus, not our own, over a sin. And then restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. This is another test. If you're walking in the Spirit, not only will you be looking to help people who have fallen, but you won't be wanting to beat them over the head and tell them, I told you so. If you would have just listened to me, I mean God's word, you wouldn't have fallen in this way. But Paul says, be gentle. Be gentle. Treat that person in understanding. And Paul says, understanding that you could fall into that too at any time. You're not super spiritual that you would never be affected by that. And that's why he gives that warning at the end. Because as we're helping other people, when we're walking wisely in the Spirit, we also have to be careful not to get pulled in. Like the lifeguard who's going out to help the individual who's struggling in the ocean. He has to be very careful about how he goes out to get that person, or he could be pulled under as well in the midst of all the struggle and the chaos. God gives us the power to be wise. We don't have to be pulled in, but it's easy to get pulled in sometimes. Don't be taken over by the sin that you're helping the other person, but trust in the Holy Spirit to help you. Bear ye one another's burdens, verse 2 again, and so fulfill the law of Christ. As other people, and this is just the burdens of life, really. Not, it could be sin. It could be a struggle that's going on at work. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a serious illness. It could be cancer. It could be all kinds of different things, struggles in families. We shouldn't leave other people in the congregation to have to go through those things alone. But Paul's saying here, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Be aware of the hurt around you. We're a spiritual family, right? We ought to be concerned. You ought to have a love for people. As the pastor of this church, I ought to have a love for people. I've heard some church leaders in the past talk about how they enjoy certain aspects of the ministry, but if it weren't for the people, and that's kind of a joke sometimes that gets passed around. I remember one guy in particular that said, I just don't like to meet one-on-one with people and talk with them. That's just not my thing. And I thought, well, okay, I guess my personality is different from his, but it just sounds like you don't really like being around people. And you know what? That's a really difficult thing if you're a ministry leader and you don't like being around people. You might want to consider another line of work because it's all about people all the time. Looking, making sure people are doing okay, checking in with them. And as the pastor, even in a church of this size, guess what? I can't do all of that. That's all of us doing that together. Let me just mention something here real quick about this, because this is where my burden lies for this church, and I've had this burden for a long time. We all need ongoing discipleship in each of our lives. That's one of the applications of this that Paul's talking about. We all need discipleship. And I have been exposed recently to some ministries who are doing some things that I think is very helpful. And I'd like you to just pray about this and consider this. I think in a healthy church that it would be great if we had everyone in this church that had someone, a mentor or somebody they could go to disciple, at least to pray, even on a weekly basis. As you have needs, you go to that person and say, you know, I'm just really struggling in this area. Would you pray for me? And you know that person's got your back. And they'll do that for you. Now, not all of us in here can do that for everybody. There's some people that God has created and their personalities just click and they get along a little better. That might be maybe the person that needs to be the discipler for you. The person that can encourage you, help you on a weekly basis. You know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit have your back, but you know that person does too. And ultimately, your church family, you should have that feeling as well, that we can come together and pray. But we need that individual experience as well. And then as people continue to walk in the Spirit, I think there also ought to be a disciplee relationship. Someone that each of us are helping to disciple. Not just taking it all in, but also giving it out again. Somebody that's just recently gotten saved needs some time to learn the basics about God's Word and about the Christian life. But I don't think before too long that we should wait too long to encourage that person to find somebody else to befriend and pray for that other person and start in their own way being able to encourage and maybe disciple that person. We all need this. Paul's not keeping anybody out of this. He says, anyone that has a fault, the rest of you who are spiritual, restore them. And anyone who has a burden, the rest of you, bear that burden. Help that person. My burden, right, for Village Chapel is that we become a group of people that are aware of each other's burdens and difficulties, and we're encouraging each other, but we're also humble enough to have someone else to encourage us, to remind us of some things. I have some relationships in my life that people that I go to, hey, will you pray about this? And I'm looking and I'm praying about even opportunities in this church. I think I've got a couple people in mind that I can go to that I know won't be afraid to just tell me if they think that I need to consider something different or if I need some help along the way. The pastor needs that kind of relationships too. I need somebody. I'm not going to be the pastor who lives on an island and just doesn't get any help and doesn't seek out any other pastors in the area in which to fellowship with. As a side note here, I can't believe in the past 2 weeks how many pastors God has already allowed me to meet and to fellowship with at the Foundations Conference over at Heritage. And then Matt Fagan is a good friend of mine. He's the one that God directed to help me to find out about you all here at Village Chapel. Kevin Hobie. And then also this last weekend getting to meet a number of pastors. God is putting me in touch with others that we can, as pastors, can help share each other's burdens. That's what the church ought to be doing. Not just an isolated island of Village Chapel Baptist Church, but also connecting with other like-minded churches and encouraging each other. Pastors need that. You all need that. So my prayer is that you'll consider and think about this more and pray, Lord, who can I have this discipling relationship with? Who can I help and possibly disciple here in the future at Village Chapel Baptist Church? Does that sound hard? Does that sound difficult? You know, these types of relations are natural for those that are what? Are walking in the Spirit. One more thing here real quick. Paul kind of throws something into this that actually should be kind of shocking. Did you notice at the end of verse 2? So fulfill the law of Christ. If you have read Galatians carefully, that should be kind of surprising to you. Have any idea why? The law of Christ. Follow after. Fulfill the law of Christ. What is the main theme of Galatians? Why did Paul write the letter of Galatians? To tell people not to place themselves back under the authority of the law again, that they don't have to follow the law in order to be saved, that they don't have to follow the Jewish traditions and the Old Testament law. But it's apart from that, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus does it all, and there's nothing that we can add to it. And the main point of Galatians is Paul telling these people that he's writing to in Galatia, in this church, don't let people tell you to add works to salvation, because that's not the gospel. Don't do that. Don't think that you're pleasing God by following the law in your own strength. So then, why would Paul here say, by the way, follow the law. Fulfill the law. Well, he says here the law of Christ. Well, what is that? One more passage here. If you just turn quickly to Matthew 22. This is very important for what we're talking about. What Paul is saying here, I think he's kind of tongue-in-cheek. He's saying, if you all feel, if you're so focused on having to follow a law, Paul says, let me give you a law that needs to be followed and that you can follow because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember this, the Pharisees heard in verse 34 and verse 34. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Of course, Jesus didn't fall for any difficulties or temptation here. He said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, but the second is like unto it. What is it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As large as the volume of the law is and heavy, Jesus takes the law and summarizes it in two basic statements. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the law of Christ. Jesus says, you don't have to obey the law anymore because you can't find righteousness in the law. But with the power of the Holy Spirit in a relationship with me, you can show my love to other people. That's my expectation. And so Paul, kind of tongue-in-cheek, says, you know what? If you need a law to fulfill, remember that one that Jesus gave about loving your neighbor as yourself? Do that. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. But the Holy Spirit can help us to bear one another's burdens, to show each other love, and then to be an example to this community that so desperately needs it, the love of Jesus through Village Chapel Baptist Church. God can do that through a group of people that are walking in the Spirit, walking wisely. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to do this. We all have a lot of struggles. We all face so many different things in this world today. Each of us have our own burdens to bear as well. But help us through the power of the Spirit, through our relationship with you, to be ready to help others, regardless of the time that it takes or the inconvenience. Help us to be ready to be an example of Jesus Christ's love as we disciple each other and help each other through the difficulties of life. And may we be an example to this community of Jesus' love.